Again, what an awesome opportunity to see that. What an awesome opportunity to go there and walk into the tomb. And it just is so awesome. That's so awesome. And you think about what I brought up in that video was, you know, 80 yards away, Jesus was whipped. And then he was brought to that stone that you saw there was Golgotha. That was the place where they crucified not only Jesus, but so many others in Roman crucifixion. And they did it in a very prominent place, and they did it in a very scary place, so that when the Jews walked by, they would go, wow, don't mess with Rome. Because if we mess with Rome, we're going to get their fury. And so, again, and even where Jesus was laid was only just a small place there, small place away in terms of distance. And so, so powerful, so powerful. This morning, I don't have a lot of slides this morning. I want to share with you that God gave. And there is freedom this Easter. There's freedom for you, and there's freedom for me. And I was having my quiet time this week, and I want to share with you from my devotional. Tim Miller writes, "My 9-year-old daughter, Jennifer, was looking forward to our family vacation, but she became ill, and the long-anticipated day at SeaWorld was replaced by an all-night series of CT scans, x-rays, and blood work at the hospital. As morning approached, the doctor told my exhausted little daughter that she would need to have one more test, a spinal tap. The procedure would be painful. They said the doctor then asked me if I planned to stay in the room. I nodded, knowing I couldn't leave Jennifer alone during this ordeal. The doctor gently asked Jennifer to remove all her clothing, and she looked at me with childlike modesty as if to say, 'Dad, is this all right?' And they had her curl up into a tiny ball. I buried my face in hers and hugged her. And when the needle went in, Jennifer cried. And as the searing pain increased, she sobbed repeatedly, 'Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.' Her voice became more earnest with each word. It was as if she was saying, 'Oh, Daddy, please, can't you do something?' And my tears mingled with hers. My heart was broken. I felt nauseated. Because I loved her, I was allowing her to go through the most agonizing experience of her life. In the middle of that spinal tap, my thoughts went to the cross. What unspeakable pain both the Son and the Father went through for our sake. But because of the cross of Christ, we have reconciliation. God reconciled us to himself. Regeneration, having been born again, we're given new life because of his work on the cross. And third, we have the resurrection. Everyone who believes in him, it says in John 6:40, I will raise him up on the last day. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for the cross. What a picture of a loving father who allowed that procedure to bring so much pain, but so that healing could take place in his daughter. This Easter, I think of Abraham, and I think of Isaac, and I think of Abraham bringing him out up to put his son Isaac on the altar. God stopped Abraham. He stopped him with an angelic hand, because his hand was going out. He stopped him. But yet the father, in his own aching heart, did not stop the hand of Judas. He didn't stop the hand of the high priest. He didn't stop the hand of Pilate. Greg Laurie says, when your spouse passes away, you're called a widow or a widower. When your parents pass away as a child, you're called an orphan. There's no word for when your child dies. There's no word for it. Friday, my oldest daughter, Arabella, got up from the couch, and her mom asked her to go switch off some lights in another room, and she was wearing socks, and we have a wood floor, and so she went, and she slipped and fell and had black and blue on her knee, and Daddy is in charge of putting on the ice. It's my favorite job, right? It's not. It's not. It just, it when I see them crying, when I see her in pain, and I know that the ice is good for her, I know that it will relieve swelling, I know, but because of the amount of adrenaline that was going through her body, she was shaking. And I checked up on that. But at the same time, too, it was just one of those things where you want to stop that pain for her. You don't want her to have to go through that. As a parent, you would rather suffer the pain than watch your child go through it. And God the Father felt the same way about Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to have to go through excruciating pain. You know where we get that word excruciating? It actually comes from the cross. It means out of the cross. I truly believe Jesus bore the worst and the most pain imaginable during the Passion. How many of you remember when the movie The Passion came out? Me and my friends went to go see it, and while we were watching, it was the hardest part for me to watch was when they whipped Jesus. That's my Savior, and he's getting viciously beaten. I've seen a lot of Christian movies out there, and I've seen a lot of telling of the cross through dramas. That is the most real, the most graphic, but the most real in terms of what happened to Jesus. And as it was happening, tears just started coming down my cheek. I said, he doesn't deserve this. I was whispering, I said, he doesn't deserve this. As I see glass and metal shards rip and tear huge pieces of his flesh apart, he doesn't deserve. Pools of blood. Roman soldiers pressing a crown of thorns on his head, mocking him. He was spat at by his own people, the high priest and the Sadducees, and those that mocked him and ridiculed him. He took upon himself the punishment for all humanity's sin. Billy Graham has stated over and over again that our God is a just God. And the only way justice could truly be satisfied was in the death of his son. How many of us, when we look at the injustice of the world, sometimes want to shake our fists and we want to say, where is justice? Why can't this country act more just? Why can't this place in Somalia or you name the country where something's happening, whether it's a genocide and you shake your fist at the evil in this world? Well, God is a just God. And there will be a reckoning. And that is why, too, that Jesus had to come and die. The only way we would be free from the bondage of sin was through one man, Jesus Christ. This Easter, I want to play a video for you. I've done this drama on the streets of Romania, a country that was once communist, a country where you couldn't openly proclaim the name of Jesus in the streets or you would be arrested. And we got to proclaim it after it broke free of that. That was powerful. And I want you to watch this, and I want you to put yourself in the place of this girl who is searching for meaning in her life. Let's take a look. I would share, and I'd get on the mic, and I'd share with them, we came all the way from America to share with you that Jesus wants to free you of your chains. That maybe you're bound by alcohol. Maybe you're bound by just a love for money. It has you. There's a covetousness there. There's a greed there. Maybe you've looked for love in relationships and relationships have fallen apart. What you thought would be your hope, that girl, she gets up and she dances with this man thinking, you are my world. You are my everything, and he throws her to the ground. No matter what that thing is that we try to look for hope in, you notice she had a chain on. And that chain are chains of sin. Those chains are chains that bind you. when you haven't given your life to Christ because the bottle looks good or the casino looks good or the girl or the guy looks good, but yet they're chains. And Christ wants to come and he wants to break those chains. If you looked in that drama, you see that there were those going like this, right? And they had the dark makeup on and they're pulling. There's a real demonic power in this world, guys. There's real demons and there's real angels. And the devil wants to have you. And this girl was getting pulled. She didn't even realize, I think, at times that who was wielding that chain. I don't think many a times I think the devil's fine with not showing his face ever if he doesn't need to. Because if he can keep you trapped in the chains of whatever that thing is, and he doesn't have to show his face, I think he's fine with that. But I think that there are times where again, real evil is shown. And it's scary. But you know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I've seen God free people. Not just free them of sin, but free them of bondage. Free them in so many amazing and supernatural ways. Not just overseas, but here in the United States too. This message is about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit wooing her to Christ. But she's in bondage and there's only one act that can free her from the chains she wears. And the only act that could free her is Jesus Christ taking those chains upon himself. Is Jesus Christ dying on the cross for you and for me. For shedding his blood that would break the chain of sin that humanity grabbed onto in the Garden of Eden. When the Lord said, you can eat anything but this one fruit. Why did God do that? Was he trying to tease them? No, he was giving them free will. You and I are not robots, right? We have a choice who we're going to serve and how we're going to live. And we can choose to go after that fruit, that sin that will bind us, or we can choose to go after the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, self-control. And allow the fruit of God's love and his life to well up inside of us. And then other people start tasting how we live. Seeing how our families are and we're not perfect. Please don't look to me or the leadership here as perfect. We mess up and we sin. But then I have an advocate with the Father. Then I have Jesus where I can go and I can say, I'm sorry. And he washes me and makes me new. I never want you to come away from this church as your pastor and you go, wow, I just feel like I'm not good enough. Like all the church has done is given me a list of rules that I can never attain. Guess what? His salvation's a free gift. His salvation is one where we embrace what he has done for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We hear this all the time. But it continues, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. He doesn't condemn you. He sent his Son not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And then he says this, and I think we skip this a lot. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. He's saying, I sent my Son. He shed this horrific pain. And if you do not choose life, then the opposite is what you choose. You choose death. If you don't choose my saving grace and the great price that I paid for you, then you choose condemnation. And we don't like reading that because we don't like thinking, wow, okay, I could stand in front of my maker someday on judgment day. And if my name is not written in the book of life, then every idle word that comes out of my mouth is going to be held accountable. That I'm going to be judged for every sin. And there's no advocate for me. I don't get a really good lawyer. I don't get somebody that can really twist my story and make it sound really good. Because guess what? I'm guilty. Guilty is charged. And even if I say on that day, I'm guilty, you're right. Okay, now can you let me into heaven? It's too late. I've been the mocker of Jesus. I've been the one that spat in his face. I've been the one that, again, could have taken this great gift. There's another drama that we would do called Allegiance. And in that drama, we show some people that take Jesus. They hug him. We do the Jesus hug, right? Like this. Jesus hug. And then some go like this. I don't want anything to do with you. And we show that because you know what? Everyone makes a choice. Everyone makes a choice. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You and I are guilty. Maybe you saw your sin depicted in the drama, maybe not. But our sin has consequences, and the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus stood in your place. He stood in my place. Jesus was struck in the middle of the night by Jews for asking the question, why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. In John 19, Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up mocking him, Hail, King of the Jews! As they bashed that thorns into his head, they struck him on the face. In our drama, you saw demonic figures, as I mentioned before, and Satan wielding the chain around the girl and then around Jesus. And Paul says this, Apostle Paul says, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers in the heavenly sphere. You know what? I believe that sometimes we got to pray for our friends and neighbors, for chains to be broken in their life, and for spiritual forces to be bound. Because you know what? The only one that's going to draw you to Jesus is not me. It's the Holy Spirit. And even as we pray, we move mountains on behalf of others. Yes, for healing, but also for salvation. I always say this. You know what the greatest miracle is? Your salvation. That he transformed a heart that was dead, that was not, you weren't breathing anymore. You were dead in your spiritual sin. And he went clear. And you're back to life again. You were dead in your sin, and he's made you alive again. That's only through the power of the cross. That's the greatest miracle. Because guess what? People get healed, and then they get sick again, don't they? Like, I can feel really good today, and I could have the flu next week. This body's going to die. This physical body's going to die. And I can try to be as healthy as I can be, and that's all well and good. But at the end of the day, my spiritual state is where it's at. Am I on fire for Jesus? Am I living for him? Am I planting seeds for eternity? Not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a Christian. Am I sowing the seeds of truth and the gospel and love? You're an evangelist. Did you know that? I'm like, oh, my pastor just called me evangelist. You are. He said, go ye therefore and spread the gospel. Spread the good news. It's not supposed to be just in churches. It's supposed to be on the streets of Romania. It's supposed to be in the grocery stores. It's supposed to be at the pump. And we say, God gave, and so I want to pay for your gas today. Happy Easter. God gave. And me and you are called to go out. No, I'm not saying you're full-time vocational evangelists. Maybe some of you are. But we're all called to share the gospel. We're all called to be, if you will, soldiers for the Lord. Well, there were soldiers, but a different kind of soldiers on that day, and Jesus was offered wine mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused it. They divided up his clothes by casting lots, which was prophesied, by the way, hundreds of years before. And then Jesus was mocked while on the cross. You know, sometimes we miss it, but there's two thieves on the cross, and one of the Gospels actually says that they were both mocking Jesus. What? What happened to that thief on the cross? I thought he went to heaven with Jesus. Well, let me explain. They're both mocking Jesus, and then Jesus says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And something hit home with one of the thieves. And he responds to the other mocker. Have you ever been a mocker before? Where you mocked others and maybe mocked them for their faith or mocked them for how weak they were. But then he has this turn on the cross. And he says, forgive. When Jesus says that, he says, "Don't you fear God?" He says to the other mocker, "Since you're under the same sentence, we're punished justly for what we're getting. We're getting what we deserve. But this man's done nothing wrong." And then Jesus says, and then he says to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." You know, you can go from a mocker to someone that's saved by the living Christ. You can turn from somebody that would have had their arms crossed and said, "This is all a joke. This is not true. I can't believe that people buy this stuff." To, "Oh, he just forgave the people that were his enemies." Jesus calls us to do the same. You know that? He says, "Love your enemies and do good to those who persecute you." And maybe somebody that's your neighbor's watching you when you forgive your enemy. And they're going to come to Christ because they're watching you and how you forgive your enemy. Whoa, wait, what did he just do? I mean, he's in the same amount of pain as me, and I just checked out his back. His back's way worse than mine, so I didn't have to go through that beating. This guy, stop mocking him. And he has a salvation experience. Here's the simplicity of saving faith, guys. As it's exemplified in the thief on the cross. God's grace doesn't depend on your goodness. And he's not made it difficult for people to entrust their lives to him and receive the gift of eternal life. All who accept Christ's sacrifice and entrust their lives to him receive his forgiveness. And some of you might be saying, "Pastor, I heard this before. I'm a Christian." Good. Memorize it and share it with somebody else that doesn't know. Do you know how to put your faith to words? If somebody asked you to walk through the gospel, could you walk through it with them? I hope so. Because that's part of declaring that we're Christians. Jesus, at the end of time, to some will say, "Depart from me. I don't know you." And they'll say, I knew you. And then Jesus will go through things to reveal that they didn't. And again, guys, this is not a guilt trip. This is a life-filling trip. That when we know how to share our faith, when we know how to share this so important message, that no matter where we've been or what we've done or what's been done to us, the assurance of salvation is only one simple request away. In our freedom drama, the girl in her shame could have turned away from Christ, but she allowed him to break her chains and to cast them away. He made her a new person. But it's not only Jesus' death that frees us, it's his resurrection that made all the difference in the world. Our Lord Jesus took death and hell captive. He's the firstborn of the resurrection of the dead. If you're a Christian, you are a member of that society. The firstborn of the resurrection of the dead. You and I, through Christ, are not just promised freedom in this life from sin, but given eternal life forever. We celebrate the risen Christ. Satan has been defeated. The serpent head has been crushed. Little Genesis review, right? When that tree of good and evil was taken by Adam and Eve, it was because the serpent deceived them. But God said to Eve, even in the book of Genesis, that there's going to be coming a time where out of your womb is going to come one that is going to crush the serpent's head, but he will bite his heel. What does that mean? It means that on Calvary, Jesus would have the poison of death, the poison of the sin of the world. The devil was going to kill him. But guess what? In that biting of the serpent, biting his heel, he would stomp his head, meaning he would destroy and have victory over the devil. If you want to look for the gospel, look in Genesis. You can see it already. It's not like, oh, now it's time for Matthew. It's the New Testament now. I guess God loves everybody. God had a plan for you even from the beginning of time. There's so much I could say on Easter as for the evidence of Christ's resurrection, but I'm going to, as we're kind of bringing this to an important piece, and I think this is a piece that you can share with others. It's an important piece if you're struggling with analytically the proof of the resurrection. There is eyewitnesses. Luke 24, it says, "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, which again was guarded by Roman soldiers that would have been punished if they would have left their post. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise.' And they remembered his words and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles." So here in this passage, we see the author of the Gospel of Luke sharing the account of women being the first witnesses. Now in the first century, women were demeaned. They wouldn't be your first witness to the stand, okay? They would have been a weak argument in a male-dominated culture. So you would think that Luke, he'd want to kind of make this look a little better, right? Man, this is a male-dominated culture. We're going to get a good old-fashioned story about men seeing him first. But this is the first evidence, guys, and it's called the criterion of embarrassment. Lee Strobel writes this in the Case for the Resurrection. And again, he was an atheist that turned to Christ through the evidence of the resurrection, the evidence of the life of Christ. If a writer's writing something that would embarrass themselves and cause hurt to their argument, why would they tell that? I got a simple answer for you. Because Luke was committed to the truth. He was committed to the truth. So no matter how it looked to his present culture, no matter how it looked to people that would read what he said, he's telling the truth. Another statement of fact is this: the resurrected Jesus was seen by over 500 people. And by the way, you don't all have a hallucination together, okay? That's not something that happens. If anybody in the 60s or 70s took LSD, you're taking LSD, somebody else is taking LSD, by the way, you don't have the same hallucination, okay? You don't have the same stuff going on. And so 500 people to see the risen Christ, it's impossible. It's impossible that they would have the same hallucination. Remember, Jesus would say, "Put your hand in my side." He'd say, "You want me to prove I'm living? Give me something to eat." Right? And we have a number of accounts of Jesus's resurrection. He appears to the women. He appears to Simon Peter. He appears to Clopas as his traveling companion is with him on the road to Emmaus. He appears to the disciples except Thomas. And then he appears to the disciples with Thomas included. He appears to seven disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And as I mentioned, he appears to over 500 of the brothers at the same time. And he appears to James. We have nine ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament that confirm this historical account. I'm talking to the skeptic and I'm talking to the believer. We serve a resurrected Christ. And you have the opportunity this Easter to accept his payment for your sin because of his great sacrifice and resurrection. It was hard for him, but it's simple for us. And like the thief on the cross, we acknowledge that we are sinners. We repent of our sin. We change direction. We turn. We ask Jesus to come and live in our life and to receive him as Savior and Lord. We're promising to follow him all the days of our life. We're committing our lives to him through prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? At this time, you're bowing your head because you're pushing away any kind of distraction right now. I believe that the Lord will free you from spiritual chains. I believe that when you receive Christ, that he gives you a new heart. You're going to be spiritually born again. To those who believe, they're given the ability to be sons and daughters of the living God. You're brought into a new family, the family of God, when you make that decision. If that's you, I challenge you right now to raise your hand. And by raising your hand, thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. See that hand. See that little guy back there raising his hand. I'll just take a few more moments. I see those hands. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to all open your eyes. And I'm going to ask you, this is Easter Sunday. And this is an opportunity. You know, I was watching Billy Graham. As you guys know, he went to be with the Lord, 100 years old. What a century that he left of impact upon millions of people. And would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? And Billy Graham said this. He said, I don't want you to just raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to do something in a moment. And Brian and Leonard, if you could come to the front as well, and Gay as well. And what we're going to do is I'm going to challenge you this Easter Sunday that if you raised your hand, in a moment I'm going to have you come forward, and we're going to pray with you, and we're going to, if you don't have a Bible, you need a Bible, we're going to give you a Bible. But guys, I really believe in a public declaration. How do we do that? Well, through water baptism, right? We declare, I am made anew, and I'm following after him. But we also make that declaration by coming forward and saying, I want a Savior. And I'm saying in front of other believers that I want that Savior in my life. So, as the piano's playing, would you begin to come? If you raised your hands, I want you to begin to come. And would you give a hand for them as they begin to come? And come forward. If you raised your hand, I want you to come forward. And we're going to pray with you. And we're just going to affirm that commitment made to Christ. And you're saying, I want to follow you. And it takes a little boldness and it takes a little guts. But what you're doing is you're saying, I want to make Christ my Savior, and it's a public thing. I'm making a public declaration that I want to be with him, and I want to be found in him. And so as we're praying, guys, could you just, again, maybe you need to get alone with God right now in just this moment. While the piano's playing, and you would just say, God, I need to get more bold in my faith to share the Easter message that I serve a risen Christ. Lord God, would you just stir within me your strength, your love, your goodness. Why don't you do that? And we're going to pray. All right, you guys. Well, can you give just a praise to the Lord? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. Thank you for transforming us on the inside. Thank you for the resurrection power of the cross. Thank you for the plans and purposes that you have for each one here. Lord God, thank you that we all are walking in discipleship, growing in you. That when we ask you into our hearts, that we can have a confidence that you come and live inside of us and that we're living for you all the days of our lives. We thank you for this Easter service, God. We thank you for your great love. We ask, Lord God, that as we go to be with friends and families today and just celebrate this Easter, Lord, God, I pray that we would be messengers of the gospel. That you would help us to articulate how worthy you are, how awesome you are, not just in our quiet times and our times alone with you, reading your word and worshiping you, but also in front of others that don't know you. Jesus, before you ascended, you said, "Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." The end of the age is coming soon. Help us to be ready, Lord Jesus. Help us to say, "Come, Lord Jesus." We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Well, be blessed this Easter. Again, if you're visiting with us, we have gift bags for you. And for those of you that prayed with us, we want to give you Bibles as well.